I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Erica Ramirez.
Hey, guys.
As well as Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, man?
Nothing. I don't know. Must Hear Music podcast.
That's what's up.
So Jason has a very exciting situation last night, which I will let him talk about right now, actually. So why don't you tell the good people what incredibly wonderful I Am Jealous of You thing you did last night?
I got home and watched some NBA basketball, I guess. Before that, before that?
No, I did mean the basketball, but what was before that?
So I went to a listening session for the Wu-Tang Clan's new album, A Better Tomorrow, and it was A Better Tomorrow, and I had a great last night. I have no joke there, but...
We can work on that one. Let's edit a better joke in afterwards.
So I came in, so I'm a huge Wu-Tang Clan fan. I know that Erica to my left is the Juice editor. She's the hip hop editor. But I feel like, and I was talking about this with a couple people last night, I feel like there are a couple artists, hip hop artists, that you usually let me write about.
Yes.
Because you just like, you understand my passion about them.
Yeah. So one of which is Wu Tang, also The Dream.
The Dream.
Also R. Kelly.
R. Kelly.
Migos is
definitely now on the list.
So I have a list of artists that I just let Jason just go.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And I always appreciate that. Will Smith, if we ever write about Will Smith.
Yes.
He needs to Jiggy his rap career.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Oh, you guys are both horrible today.
Yeah, we're super lame today. Anyway, so I went to the Wu-Tang Clan album listening, and I was in a studio with RZA as he was playing his full new Wu-Tang Clan album, and I was just like, wow, ninth grade me would be crapping his pants right now, because that's all I would dream about doing is like hanging in the studio with RZA. And I like talk to him afterward.
Wow.
I mean, listen, like I fanboy a little bit about the Wu-Tang Clan. Like, U God came in and I was like, oh my god, that's U God. And like Master Killer was there and I was like, oh my god, that's Master Killer. I wasn't even talking to anybody, I was just talking to myself. Anyway. So Wu-Tang Clan, Better Tomorrow, I came in with very, I wouldn't say low expectations, but I just had zero expectations. Mm-hmm. It's not that I thought that the album was going to be bad, I just didn't know what to expect, because their last proper album was 8 Diagrams from 2007, and like it had some good points on it, but it's also kind of a mess, and it also sounds like Raekwon and Ghostface want no part of that album. So... you know, that was 7 years ago. They've been saying a new Wu-Tang Clan album is coming out. They were on The Daily Show in August and still nothing came out. So I was like, all right, well, I hope something actually exists for me to listen to tonight. But it was 15 songs. It's really well produced. And I've kept saying it's a back to basics album because that's just what it feels like. It doesn't feel overthought at all. It doesn't feel like anything more than it should be, which is a Wu-Tang Clan album in 2014. It doesn't try to innovate. It's not, you know, it's not going to be like a Kendrick Lamar, Good Kid, Mad City. But it's just like these guys know, they're pros. They know what they're doing. And they know how to tell gritty stories over huge soul samples. And it's, you know, with some kung fu dialogue mixed in. Like, it's everything you would hope for. So the song we're going to listen to is it Ruckus in B Minor?
Ruckus that's what in we're B talking Minor. About? That is the one that's available to the public, not just the New York media elite like Jason Lipschitz.
Yeah. So they played the whole album, and that was the first song on the album. It's not the best song on the album, but it's definitely fun. It's a little bit indicative of what people are going to hear on this album, which is just a lot of energy. I mean, it looks back in a way that I appreciate because ODB is on it. But, you know, you also have, you know, back-to-back great verses from Ghostface and GZA. It's funny how Ghostface, he might have sounded the worst on 8 Diagrams, and he's my favorite Wu-Tang rapper. He actually sounds really energized on this album, especially on the second half of this album, so I'm excited about that. And, yeah, I mean, listen, if you like Wu-Tang Clan, I feel like this is going to be, it's not a mind-blowing album, but it's probably the album you've been waiting for, which is just like a really solid Wu-Tang Clan album. I mean, and the last thing I'll say, because I'm just rambling now, is it kind of reminds me of Raekwon a couple years ago put out Only Built for Cuban Links 2, and people went nuts about that album. And I don't think, like, it's not because that album is like groundbreaking in a way, like it's not going to be like beautiful, like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. It's just a really solid Wu-Tang Clan album, and that's what I feel like people want. And, you know, I feel like that kind of belongs in this category of also just, you know, really fun, really enjoyable Wu-Tang stuff.
Does it sound like they've been fighting?
From what I could tell, no.
Okay, good.
There's not a lot of GZA on the album, which is a bummer because GZA is one of my favorite. But the first,
you've said that everyone, I think you've named every single one and said that they're your favorite.
No, so
that's
no,
how I know
no.
that you're a fanboy. That you have like, you literally love all of them in their
GZA
own ways.
Way
they're
up
like
there.
Kids, like you love them all.
I know.
But in their
I can't
own
pick
way.
Between them. But yeah, it's interesting how the album is kind of delineated, because the first half of the album, there's really not that much Ghostface on it. And I was like, oh man, is this going to be another Wu-Tang project where Ghostface just doesn't really show up? But then the second half of the album, he kind of owns. So I was just really happy about that. They don't sound like they're pissed off at each other. It sounds like there's obviously more like You God and Capadonna than like Raekwon. But like, you know, you kind of expect that at this point. And Raekwon shows up and does some great verses. So I was very pleased. That's all. I'm excited to listen to this again.
Yeah, I would say having only
and the
heard
the podcast is over.
Yeah. All right. How long do we go?
See you next week. having only heard Ruckus in B Minor, I think it what you're saying makes absolute sense. Like this is, it's a great song. I mean, you're right. Like this is not reinventing anything. It's not terribly innovative. But I think kind of the best thing you could say for someone in their position is that they're not like just resting on their laurels and just trying to like retread the sound that they had before. Like this sounds, it sounds good. Like it's still, you know, it's maybe not the most progressive, but it's relevant enough, I guess. Like it sounds good. It doesn't sound like they're just trying to recreate the sounds of their classics.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing. And I mean, I was kind of smiling when I was listening to Inspector Deck, who is totally underrated and great, but like his verse is just naming a bunch of like popular TV shows.
Yeah,
and that made me think that was like, hey, we're like, we know what's going on in 2014, like The Mentalist, Big Bang Theory, Sons of Anarchy. That kind of made me think like, why are you just naming all these TV shows?
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, it's everyone has a pretty good chance to shine. And I'm hoping the whole album also gives everyone their,
like it's
their
the
bit.
Thing is, it's tough because every Wu-Tang album could be their last. Like it really could be. Like they could just be because it's such a process of getting all of these guys together, and this is the 20th anniversary of Enter the 36 Chambers. Like I really feel like this could be the last Wu-Tang album.
I mean, it probably will be. I would.
Yeah,
guess.
Like
aside from the Shaolin secret album,
the
that
secret,
one person
the,
with $8 million
the $1 billion
combined.
Album. Which is weird. It's so weird that they're, I was thinking about that last night, how they like made an album, but they made another album and they feel like other, like people are going to want to own the other. Like, it's so weird. Like there's an album right there that everyone can listen to in a month. But anyway, I mean, it's fun. It's a fun Wu-Tang album, and I'm glad that they're kind of rounding back into form a little bit. Like I said, there's no like radio singles here. I know. I'll shut up. I'll shut up. Okay, guys.
No, it's just funny. It's just funny because I haven't.
Just
heard
wait until the new Adele album comes out.
I'm gonna dedicate one. I'm gonna dedicate the Juice podcast on just the Adele album. But no, it's just so funny to like hear you be such a fan. Like,
yeah,
and especially of like an entire album, and it, which is hard, I think, nowadays to actually like be excited for an entire whole album. But it's also probably because it's Wu-Tang. But
yeah. It's funny because I thought about that last night when, you know, we were at the listening session, and about half the journalists there were like me and like taking notes and like really listening and, you know, doing all this stuff. And then the other half of the people were just kind of talking, and some left before the album was done. And I was like,
tisk,
guys,
tisk.
What are you? Like, this
you
is the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
Come
yeah,
on.
Seriously.
So I
Joe
you know.
Wants names.
Yeah, I want names. And I want to switch places
I know.
With them.
I get very very passionate about the Wu-Tang Clan. And like I said, though, I'm realistic. I didn't think that, you know, going into last night, I didn't really have any high expectations. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised.
Cool. Well, let's listen to Ruckus in B minor.
Still number one, still number one, still number one, 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 still number one, still number one, still number one, one, one. The most duplicated, anticipated, validated urban legends in the books with the ones who made it highly celebrated.
All right, that was Wu-Tang Clan, Ruckus in B minor. Next up, let's talk about a Theophilus London song. This track is one of my picks. It's called Water Me, and it features Leon Ware. So Theophilus London dropped his Kanye West-produced album Vibes. Vibes! It has an exclamation point. I'm trying
Vibes.
To get that across. This is the first track on the album, and it's certainly not like... This is what I'll say about it. It's a good song, but it's definitely very relaxed. Like, this is the kind of hip-hop song you can imagine, like, basically just a college stoner, like, zoning out to. Like, he smoked way too much. He can barely, like, get his, you know, hand to the laptop to change the track, and he's just listening to this. It is a cool sound, though. The reason, though, I wanted to focus in on this track is I just think it's so cool what Theophilus London is doing on this album. So this is an entire album with no samples. Yet Leon Ware is kind of this vintage, like, Detroit soul guy who co-wrote a ton of the Marvin Gaye album I Want You and has a bunch of various other credits. You know, this is not someone whose name is in the national consciousness, who's working with A-listers with any regularity. And I just think it's really remarkable that Theophilus London, instead of just grabbing like some obscure 1971 Leon Ware sample for his track, he actually went out, got the guy, you know, this 70-something-year-old dude, brought him into the studio, talked about some vintage stories, made new music together. So you get this kind of throwback feel, but without just taking a sample. Like, I just think that's a really great way to, like, pay tribute to an underappreciated talent and someone that you grew up loving. So that's what I have to say about that.
I talked to Theophilus London about Vibes, and we talked about Leon Ware, and he literally said that he just came over and pretty much just let him do what he wanted to do. Like, he already had production all set, but Leon Ware was just like, let's just focus on this, or let's talk about this more. And he even said, like, he was so up to doing anything that Leon Ware said. It was just like, if he wanted coffee, he'd like go get coffee for him. Or Leon Ware was just like, maybe we should have like women in the backyard, like in the pool. And he's just like, all right, I'll go get women for you. Like, whatever type of thing that he wanted in order to like be more, I guess, inspired or feel it a little bit more, Theophilus London was like all for. But so I totally understand as to like how he just kind of let Leon Ware guide him. And I think it's like a great artist to like let you be guided. But I mean, overall, like the project, I don't know about Jason over here to my right.
Yeah, I could not get behind the song, Joe. I'm sorry, man.
Too sleepy.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was like, you know, shout out to Theophilus London and, you know, great artist, but this song, I was zoning out. You said it yourself. This song is made for freshman stoners to zone out to. I am not a freshman stoner.
That's true.
And I was not a freshman stoner, but, you know, in an alternate reality, I still feel like I wouldn't like this song.
I think that's totally fair.
Those are like straight shots. Like, not even like no shots, but those are like straight shots.
It's yeah, it's not the most exciting track, but I think it has a nice, I guess, I don't know, soulful lushness to it. Like, it does remind me of that classic Marvin Gaye sound, the kind of understated "I Want You." Is it as good as that song? No, like, that's a much better constructed song.
I feel like I want to give you, if you haven't listened to it yet, I want to give you the full Flying Lotus album. And like,
yeah, I've got, I love the Flying Lotus album.
Like, I feel like this is the vibe that this is going for.
Yeah, but I mean, that's almost more jazzy and like in your face. Like, this is totally, and I hate the word, but like chillax music. And if you don't like chillax music, don't seek it out. But if it's something that you enjoy occasionally, more laid back hip hop, like, that's what this is. And I think it's good for that.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But, it, you know, it's...
I got your back, Joe.
Yeah,
I got
you know back. What I'm saying.
I only got shots at this song.
You only got shots. I mean, I think, yeah, like, The Flying Lotus is great, but it's a pretty frenetic album, and sometimes you just need, like, something that's low key to put on in the background. I mean, I'm sure like no one wants to hear that about their music, but well, but that's also kind of what this is to me.
There's a Kanye West song, I believe it's called Can't Stop, which
right.
is like,
and that
not
is pretty.
That,
so. Yeah, that's banging. But anyways, well, let's listen to it. It is Theophilus London featuring Leon Ware. The song is called Water Me.
Sweetest portion, girl, the love my heart will bring.
All right, that was Theophilus London, Water Me. Next up, let's talk about new Mary J. Blige song. It is When You're Gone, and I'm going to toss it off to Erica.
It's another sad song. No, it's another very...
I like this sad song.
It's not, it is a sad song. I feel like I heard it the first two... Well, I heard it when the album leaked, and I kind of skimmed through the album. And you're used to, I think, a certain type of ballad, especially when it's like a heartbreak ballad from Mary J. Blige, and I think this is a more progressive one. I don't think it's some that we've heard, but it still has like that signature voice of hers of like, you feel what MJB is feeling. And I also just like that it's a different type of production as far as her ballads go. Like, I said this on the Juice podcast last week where I was a little nervous that it would be all like dance songs, and I'm glad to hear this, although it's very sad. I still appreciate the fact that she could still make these type of songs and be as effective as she used to be.
Yeah, I was just impressed. I totally agree with you. I'm glad that the full London Sessions album isn't just going to be like Disclosure-y dance stuff. And I'm also impressed that for like a song where she slowed it down, she kept it minimal. Like, I think there's like a hint of strings at one point, but it's really mostly acoustic guitar. And you could easily see someone being like, no, Mary, like, we need to, like, you know, add some stuff to this mix, like, make it more robust, and it would just get saccharine, like, too many strings or, like, a dumb piano thing in the background. So I appreciate that this is kept minimal. I agree, though, you know, this is not an earth-shattering song, but in terms of, like, a full album, I can imagine this fitting in, being, like, a nice reprieve.
But I'm also, now that you say that, I'm also surprised that it is so minimal, considering who she worked with, which is, like, Sam Smith, which was not that on
That's
his album.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's been interesting
what
to see.
What if you just said yeah?
Yeah. 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 Yep. Hey. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I think it's interesting the kind of resurgence Mary J. has had with working with artists like Sam Smith and Disclosure. This is a great song. I mean, this is a very straightforward song, and I always enjoy what Mary J. does. Like, I've been a fan for a long time. I kind of wish that I'm hoping to hear more upbeat stuff. And
she has like a good amount of both on the album.
Yeah, so I'm excited to hear that. But you know, when she slows things down, it's still Mary J. just kind of keeping the course steady. And yeah, I'm a fan, and I already added it to my sad times playlist. Yeah. I don't actually have a sad times playlist, but
sad,
if I did,
it should be sad boys.
Sad boys.
Add it to your sad boys playlist.
Yeah, very cool.
All right, well let's listen to it. So Mary J. Blige. When you're gone.
Like I did when we were first together. No one in this world could ever hold me better. Just tell me when you're coming home. When you're gone. I miss you like you took a piece of me with ya. Didn't think I cared.
That was Mary J. Blige, When You're Gone. Next up, let's talk about a group I like to call Fifth Harmony, and
yeah,
a lot of other people like to call Fifth Harmony too, because that's their name.
Am I just like the weirdest guy for wanting to just talk about Wu-Tang Clan and Fifth Harmony?
I feel like this is like the Jason podcast.
This really is,
yeah,
like,
there's not a
classic
lot.
Jason.
I would imagine there's not too many people who are super stands for both Wu-Tang.
I wouldn't call myself a super stan for Fifth Harmony, but I am. I love this song. So the song we're talking about...
There's only one Jason, Joe. Remember
there's
that.
There's only one me.
Yeah.
This song is called Sledgehammer. It's their new single from their upcoming album, Reflection. I really liked their first single, Boss. Just a really silly, fun song.
I remember you having me listen to that, and I actually really liked
that. Yeah, the Michelle Obama song. This is a totally different vibe. It's very much a kind of European synth pop. It was written by Meghan Trainor. I don't know if you knew
love
that, Joe.
Her.
I don't know if you knew that as well.
Have you guys watched my Spotify?
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
how much
I
play that song. Jason lurks on my Spotify.
I do lurk on your Spotify.
I've been playing Meghan Trainor a lot.
Every single day, I feel like.
I'm not ashamed.
Give me that title. I feel like.
Maybe that's like a sub.
Give me that title.
Maybe that's like a sub to someone. Okay, sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, this is just Fifth Harmony is, for those unaware, they were on the U.S. version of the X Factor season 2. They have an incredibly rabid fan base called the Harmonizers. I literally tweeted. Yes, or last week, I was like, I really like the new Fifth Harmony song. Like that, it was that, you know, innocent. It got like 300 retweets. I was like, what's going on? And
thank God you liked it. You might not be here today if you
goodness,
hadn't.
I know, I might be missing. But anyway, their EP, debut EP came out last year. It was called Better Together. And it was kind of a mess in terms of they didn't really know where to go with it. And, you know, Boss came out earlier this year, became their biggest hit on the Hot 100. Wasn't a huge crossover hit. But then you have Sledgehammer. And I'm not sure how well this song is going to do, but this is a great pop song. Like, this is just a really well-written. See how excited I get Wu-Tang and Fifth Harmony? Well-written melody. And I just love the kind of rapidity of the chorus where they go into it and then they speed up on the third measure. I like how it slows down in the bridge and then it goes back up for the final chorus. I just like and I wrote this somewhere that it's like my favorite song about like the physical manifestation of teenage lovesickness since Demi Lovato's Heart Attack, because their songs about
you love
the
that
things.
Song also.
Yeah, I love that song too. But yeah, I mean, the both songs are basically just about like walking down the hallway and you see like your crush and you like get the jitters and like, you know,
and your pulse is beating like a sledgehammer.
Pulse is beating
or is it
like
heart?
A sledgehammer.
It's one of the two.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, I agree with you. I'm not. And God, I hope they don't find me on Twitter, but I am not a Fifth Harmony fan. I felt just kind of like a track like Miss Moving On, which was, I think, from the EP, was just
forgettable,
like,
right?
Yeah, forgettable, like Kelly Clarkson light. And you could tell that it was very much the songs were constructed to like, now this person in the band's going to do their little solo, and now this person gets their part. And the great thing about this track, and I love this song, honestly, is that it just seamlessly blends. Like, instead of being like, okay, now we have to give girl number one her chance, and then girl number two. Like, the vocals just blend together. It's a well-constructed song, and I think it's a more, like, listen, their last stuff, their EP, I guess, was more of an early 2000s throwback. This is, like, way further. This is, like, 80s, 90s Euro dance. And I think that's, even though it's further away, like, it's a more relevant throwback. Like, people are digging that sound now.
Yeah.
So, and I, like you said, like, it's a well-constructed pop song. It's immediately catchy. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say that is, like, super catchy.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally is. The thing is, and I won't ramble on this one like
it's
I ramble
okay.
on the Wu-Tang Clan.
I have snacks, so.
The thing is, so Fifth Harmony, in terms of, like, the girl groups of, you know, popular music right now, it's basically Fifth Harmony and Little Mix. Little Mix is the UK version. They four-piece won the X Factor over there. And they have already released two albums. They've kind of established their sound. And it's interesting to see Fifth Harmony do that. I think both of them have been really successful in establishing what they want to do, making really, you know, well-crafted pop songs. And I just, yeah, I really like it. I thought it was smart to get Meghan Trainor on board. Gives it a nice little wrinkle. And yeah, the lyrics are tight. I recommend the Must Hear Music podcast, Sledgehammer by Fifth Harmony.
Yeah, let's listen to that. That's Fifth Harmony, Sledgehammer.
I feel the fever and I won't lie. I break the sweat. My body's telling all the secrets I ain't told you yet. Oh, I struggle to contain the love that's in my veins and how it circulates. If you could take my
All right, that was Fifth Harmony's Sledgehammer, and I just wanted to tag one thing onto that. So regarding the Meghan Trainor, that she co-wrote this song, I just think that's, for a lot of people who are like, oh, Meghan Trainor, she's going to be a one-hit wonder, like, I think it's important to remember that even if she's not going to be a chart topper under her own name, like, this girl has a lot of good songs to her name. Like, she really can construct.
Erica knows.
In my heart, Meghan Trainor's number one.
And you compare something like All About That Bass, which is like a 50s kind of doo-wop throwback, to this, which is entirely different. Like, she obviously knows music and can construct different sounds. Next up, I want to talk about Church's Dead Air. This is their song from the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 soundtrack, which is the Lord-curated soundtrack, which means plenty of opportunities to make puns on Lord and church and Lord goes to churches,
oh,
and et cetera,
goodness.
Et cetera.
I didn't
but
even think about that.
Fill in your own pun. Basically, the song Dead Air it's totally like familiar church's territory. Like, I would say anyone who's listened to their music knows that they kind of do the same thing over and over. But I think what makes it work is that they construct really great songs. Like, it's not just a sound, like, they have good songs. So you've got, like, some chirpy synths here, but it's also, like, a nice, warm, inviting sound. Unlike a lot of synth pop revivalists, like, this doesn't sound distant and weird. Like, this is a sound that kind of invites you in. So I'm a fan of it. If you're a fan of churches, check it out. If you have not really delved into churches, this is a great place to start. Anybody else have any thoughts?
But no, going
on
off of what you said, I feel like sometimes it could sound a little forced when artists experiment with this type of sound. So I'm glad that is not the case in this part.
Yeah, I mean, this is just they know exactly what their lane is and what to do. And this sounds very similar to the Bones of What You Believe album that they put out last year. And you know, it's interesting to hear this Mockingjay album kind of be used as a stopgap for some artists, like even Lord, but he also someone like Miguel is experimenting a little bit. Yeah, this just seems like a little bit, this seems like anthemic churches, like churches in anthemic mode, and
right.
I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that, and you're right, the chorus is more anthemic, but it's also a little more understated than your typical anthemic track, which I guess, you know, makes sense because they're certainly not like aiming for Top of the Pops, they're more of like indie popular.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we've gotten some great stuff from the Mockingjay soundtrack so far. Like we talked about before, Lord's contribution was good. you know, it certainly not doesn't rank amongst her best songs. And I would say similarly, this does not rank amongst Church's best songs. But the one that we got with Miguel and Chemical Brothers was truly incredible.
Yeah.
And we recently found out that the mysterious track 5, which had not been named until yesterday on this album, is going to be a collaboration between Major Lazer, a.k.a. Diplo, and Ariana Grande. So, and that, I mean, I'm very excited.
That could be very good or very bad. I just want to point that out.
I agree, but I have to say, when I heard about that Ariana Grande was doing a song with Zedd, I was like, man, that's going to be a mess. And Break Free is, like, fantastic. It's such a good song.
Yeah.
So I feel like...
It's not my favorite on the album, but...
Ooh.
No, but that sounds exciting, though, like a Diplo or Major Lazer.
He could get great things out of her.
Like I said, it could be very good or very bad.
Right.
We'll see.
He'll get her out of her lane, though. I feel like otherwise she kind of sticks to the like, soulful Mariah type thing. You need someone to, like, grab her and shake her up a little bit. But anyways...
Well, there you go.
So, yes. So the point is, we're excited for that. That is all we have for you guys this week. Thanks so much for listening. If you have any recommendations about bands or songs or restaurants or really anything, tweet it at us.
Yo, shout out. Let's get some restaurant suggestions and we could record the podcast
must
there.
From the restaurant.
From the restaurant.
Must eat music. Must eat food. I don't know. Anyways. All right. Have a good week.
Bye.
Thanks,
guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.